Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. It's time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. So suit up in your full armor of God with your host, Pastor Roderick Williams, as we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Amen, amen, amen. Going to definitely do that. Good evening. Welcome to Breaking Chains. It's time for the special assignment. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well in your household. I pray all is going well with your families. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, as we're led of the Holy Spirit, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Lord God, right now we ask that you cover the homes, Father God, and comfort and strengthen those that are dealing with COVID-19, Father God, that have lost loved ones, Father God, and dealing with this pandemic, Father God. Cover your people, Father God. Heal them right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Open up our minds and our hearts, Father God, to realize what your word has already laid out for us, Father God, so that we will put on the full armor of you, O God, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Father God, and get in line and order with what you have called of us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when you call your people to come together, humble themselves and pray, and then you will hear our voices and heal the land. Father God, we cry out to you right now, Father God, to cover this podcast tonight, cover the guests and the host tonight, Father God, and let things come of knowledge to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. All right, everybody, put on your full armor of God, suit up and get ready. Special show tonight is called The Special Assignment. Our last week's guest is back tonight to talk about some things to help to, you know, move your children forward, your homes forward. We're going to get ready for that. But I want to play this special song right here. Go back for a minute. And, you know, just got to understand that this song has a message. But let's get ready. It's Breaking Chains with the special assignment on YAT Radio. Good evening, y'all. Let's go.
You're listening to Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right, appreciate that, bro. Welcome back to Breaking Chains with the special assignment. Pastor Rod's on your radio, our special guest tonight from last week, and he's back tonight, and we thank God for an opportunity to have Mr. Von Meadow of College Park, Georgia, the Deputy Director of Operations for Bagley Youth Development, and doing a lot of great work. Good evening, Mr. Von. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I was just still listening to Frankie Beverly, very, very good message that pertains to what people are trying to say now in the streets.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We are definitely one. Mr. Von, I want to, thank you once again for coming on. Evangelist Moore couldn't join us. She's still working there. She's the manager and director of Storks Net. Child development here in Mobile, Alabama. And tonight wanted to talk about some things that our parents can help with their youth to get things going over the summer. A lot of programs are closed down for the summer due to the coronavirus all over the country. And a lot of our parents and guardians are looking for activities and things that our young people can get involved in throughout the summertime, and even the decisions that are being made right now, even when school is to start. Want to talk about that first, because here in Alabama, they had a big press conference the other day, and giving the parents the opportunity to either to send their child to school or to do online schooling. By this being like the first time all of this is really going to take place, how do you feel about the online schooling that's probably going to have to take place for our children to continue on with their education, Mr. Vaughn?
Well, a lot of that is in terms of a connecting point would depend on the grade level. And then parents pretty much know their child, whether they're easily motivated or if they like school. Unfortunately, at a certain point, there's a lot of kids who haven't really warmed up to school. There are some that really like school. They want to be there every day. Some other ones are looking for ways not to be there. So they just got to recognize at what point their child may be and start to try to engage them from that. But online takes a certain discipline for them to go on and stay engaged. And a lot of young people get so easily distracted that that just might not be the best learning tool for them. But that's going to boil back down to an individual engagement in terms of what's going to work best, you know, for the child.
Right, right. So as far as you talking about, you know, being able to understand our children and learning and the engagement of them and their attention span and everything, with what's about to take place, we're talking about July is about to hit. School usually starts sometime late August, maybe middle, late August. Are the school systems going to be prepared to be able to handle school, and how would they handle school doors opening? And with the, you know, with this pandemic still where it is, and with the summertime hadn't even reached its peak yet, how do we deal with that?
Well, since this situation has not really been in the forefront before, some people who could think outside the box is really going to take the lead. It seems like before you had some cleaning of schools, but it didn't always do a great job of that, because by starting in early August, really, a lot of them were starting the first week of August. A lot of them didn't even go through and double check their air conditioning and see how well it was working, because that is still a hot seasonal time. Mm-hmm. And then besides that, they didn't have a large custodial staff. Now, since they're talking about having kids there face-to-face, you're going to have to increase that staffing. here in the Atlanta area, well, even for the whole state, the governor kind of cut back on the budget for education. So that's going to represent a challenge in terms of having enough people in place to do constant cleaning, because that's what's going to be required to have people think that, you know, they're having some chance of being safe in terms of not transmitting the virus. So that's going to be a concern. And I guess some way that's going to have to be evaluated real quick to see if they're doing that, because in general, a lot of kids still created a mess during the day, and not just the cafeteria part. So you're going to have to look at that part. But besides that, I guess there's a question about wearing a mask all day. There was elementary school. You already got kids that would transmit a lot of just common colds. So now, since it's been shown that young people could be affected too, is that going to be a challenge for them to have those kids keep a mask on all day? So those are questions that people are going to have to address and see how effective it might be on a quick turnaround. They can't wait for the Christmas break and say, oh, I think we might need to change. It's going to have to take place in about a two-week cycle to see how effective they're handling that situation.
So I'm asking these questions because I just, you know, when you talk to parents, some parents have those concerns, and you know, I knew that I would have a professional on tonight that I can ask some of these questions. Are we really stepping to the plate to address the issues of about education of our youth right now, and those things that you just put forth right there, you know, just to. The cleaning purposes and the staffing, and you say that the governor cut the budget for education, and I'm sure that's going to be taking place there. So how do we not be concerned about our children getting their education now with all this going on and budgets being cut? What, as a parent, what is it that you could say to them, Mr. Vaughn, to try to get them to be on the right path of addressing some of these issues?
Well, unfortunately, some parents are going to have to get a little out of their comfort zone and maybe have to do some extra work. If they looking at their child and there's an academic deficiency, they need to probably start searching for some type of support. There's certain agencies that do tutoring to help, and then there's some, they have to check also if the child doesn't have any real academic deficiencies. They may search for something else to engage them in, whether maybe starting to take up a foreign language or do some other creative things with them, that there are some other things online that they could do, as well as get some other things from the library that they could do with them in terms of hands-on, instead of just online telling them, yeah, tune in to this and do it. They may find something that they could do together, and that way they could do a first-hand gauge on how well they are performing that concept, or if it's really hitting the mark, because if it's not, then they might have to switch off to something else. So some of the things could be on the academic basis, and some of the other things could just be on a more leisure or recreational basis. They could start seeing how well their athletic skills, their motor skills are developing by going out in the park with them, as well as there still should be some community centers, rec centers that's open. So they could introduce them to some other types of traditional things that's been around, such as billiards or ping pong or some other things of that nature. All of those things have started to take on new recognition in terms of interest and people participating in it, as well as it becoming a profession for them. So also, since a lot of people have the phones and take pictures every day, they actually may see if they have an interest in real photography and developing it from there. So there's any number, but the parents would have to do an assessment themselves, knowing their child better than other people telling them, I think this would be a point of interest for them. Yeah, they should be able to determine. And that's even helping them develop their social skills. If your child is more of an introvert, you may have to see if you could help find something that would help bring them out to help develop their social skills more, because they're going to be out around people at some time, and that has been a challenge within the school system, even to the point where the bullying takes place, is physical or cyber.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So those are just a few types of suggestions that may have some merit.
That's good. That's good in itself. I think a lot of it in itself, though, and it was something we discussed last week, a lot of things that need to take place with our children starts in the home, and things that we talked about last week. And here's something here. Isn't that something that we need to also help to do to encourage our parents to motivate their children? There are some things that we have to concentrate on with the parents as well to help to motivate them to motivate their children. Because being in the business that we're in, and we see and the things that I've learned there, a child is definitely, you've heard it growing up, a child would definitely follow in the footsteps of their parents. So what is it that we can do, or just not even do, but say, or give advice to some parents to keep themselves motivated and lifted, besides telling them, you know what I'm saying, put God first and seek Jesus. But there's some other things that they need to be doing outside, and, you know, doing some other things. What is it that you can suggest to them and for them, Ms. Bond?
Well, all parents are not reading out the same parenting manual. So if a parent knows they may have a shortcoming that would be important that they want to pass along, there are certain support groups that they could engage with, as well as there may be some other types of organizations around that will help them develop any skills that they may feel they're lacking in. So they should definitely be able to research those or connect with those types of organizations or agencies. And it is no harm in them if they're feeling pressured and tensed. They could engage in therapy themselves and learn other relaxing coping mechanisms. So if they kind of know, and often they do admit it, you know, in terms of what they feel may be a shortcoming. And a person saying, you know, I'm just never on time, or I never, well, they could reach out to someone and help them start developing, be a more timely person, because that type of anxiety could spill over to the children, where they're ready to go, and then she's never ready to go on time, and they're always getting there late. And sometimes people start making light of that, but it can become a challenge where the kid is saying, I got there late, I missed my turn, now I got to wait and stuff, and that ain't fair. I mean, that's how they would equate that. So sometimes it's something small. Other times it may just be have a little bit more complexity to it, in terms of the parent having a diagnosis and they need to make sure that they're following up the right way so they don't become short-tempered, you know, with the children or other supporting members of their family.
That's right. I understand that. So at Bagley, is there assistance for parents or programs that you can direct them to, or programs that you all offer strictly for the parents, Mr. Vaughn?
Well, it's it's a spectrum there. Sometimes young parents may need what they call the parenting classes, because unfortunately the young mother may have a couple of children and she's still barely out of her teens, but she never really learned how to cook because she was a product of fast foods. She may get engaged in learning how to prepare nutritional meals for the family and then engage the children in terms of helping out. They always want to help.
Right.
They may not always be that helpful, but the children always want to help, and they could do that, and that's a bonding mechanism with the family. But if there's any type of special needs that's connected with the family, they have other special needs support groups and stuff there. People who are experiencing some of the same challenges and can pass along going through those challenges and what best practices may be. Sometimes they could go and volunteer at a place together. We've had some families that have gone to do special projects, helping other children. I mean, here we had people putting some books together to send to Africa. And then we have some food distribution places that, you know, you could do something with. And then you have some other places like United Way that may call on different groups to come together and help out with the homeless. They have a little box they put together that has some of the essentials in it, you know, that toothbrush, toothpaste, and deodorant, stuff like that. So there's some other things around that you could do together that's not terribly expensive or not totally time consuming either.
Okay. There was something that you brought up last week about different things that young people can do and start up little businesses. And I want to go ahead and start talking about that because we don't have to stay on long tonight. I think our youth need some things, because when I was young, I had my own little lawnmower business. I was cutting grass. So, you know, that was something that I could do for the summer and make money. So,
yeah,
I do remember that. And that's still in existence. But it's something about a lot of businesses that you can start that a lot of people, I would say young people, see that they figure that they don't have that drive or have that support to you know, help them build their self-esteem up to get out here and do this stuff. Because you don't see a lot of young people out doing those type of things that was done when I was young. I know there's, you know, different generation. I know all of that. But, you know, it can't just be all about all the bad stuff. I think there should be some type of entrepreneurial skills taught and, you know, pulling up your pants and dressing properly to go get a job or different things like that. So I want you to talk about that a little bit, Mr. Vaughn, about, you know, finding yourself presentable. And then, you know, sometimes you got to create a job, you know, to make a job. So go ahead, sir.
Well, when you're looking at the job market, the 13 to 15 year olds normally are left out of the matrix in terms of trying to start making some money, because they're getting ready to enter high school and have their own projected needs that they have for money. But that group, if a couple of friends who they normally have close friends and they're in a particular neighborhood, they could start venturing out past just cutting the grass. That may be an aspect. But if the people, if they look at it, and the families and the houses that are conscious enough to keep their lawns mowed and presentable, you may also be able to approach them by saying, hey, have you thought about planting some flowers also? If they're able to get with Home Depot and Lowe's and other places like that has a large plant selection. And if they could go by and talk to some of those people and find out what would be the best flowers to plant per season, they could take a couple of pictures and get them a little portfolio, but they could just still make them a little notebook where it's still not real expensive, and start telling people. I think these flowers would match up with the painting, the paint on your house perfectly and stuff, and we could do that for you. And if they would say what they trying to raise that money for, if they would come across a good cause, then whether, don't want them to just make up a lie, but if they could make up a, come up with a good cause, say, I'm starting to save up for such and such, and people buy into that a lot easier than figuring you just coming by hustling. And you could turn that into a regular job where you coming by to help maintain it and tell the people, we can come back by and add a little soil enrichment sod or something. You know, I'm not the outdoors person, but so I don't want to come up with the wrong terminology on that, but there's different things that you do with that. And also just painting the numbers back on your sidewalk, because many people who got their number on there have it's faded out from the sun. So you can repaint that. And you can just tell them, this makes it much easier for the fire department or anybody else to see your house if they get ready to come and do it. They could even help straighten up some mailbox. A lot of people's mailboxes are starting to lean over a period of time and stuff. Or repaint them. Say, would you like your mailbox refreshed? You do some little spray paint. Those things are engaging. And the other plus is they never know who they're going to touch when they come around with that entrepreneurial spirit, because it may be a guy say, you know what? What else do you guys do? I need somebody to do so-and-so. I mean, you don't know what that connection may pan out for you. But those are just little things that they could do to stay engaged and still be productive, and they could turn it into a real business later if they, you know, feel comfortable with it. We got kids here selling that water on those corners, and it's become a little bit of a challenge because some people have complained that they thought some of the kids were getting too aggressive in terms of trying to peddle the water, but we've had another mentoring type group now who stepped up from the city saying that they want to not only just help them do a better job of selling it, but start doing financial planning with them, let them make out a budget, and just give them some more business tips to go along with increasing their business awareness.
So
those are just some little things they might be able to engage in.
Right. So you said something about the business planning and everything. So that in itself would be something that could be done, as far as, because a lot of things are going virtual. A lot of people are using Zoom, and a lot of organizations are having their meetings like that. So how about what do you think about doing things like that for young people and getting involved with them, with different teaching them different things and exposing them to different arenas and different areas of life to elevate them with areas that they couldn't learn right now or don't know right now?
Yeah, well, that's been an activity engagement that our agency has already been doing for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had a mentoring program before. It was mainly geared towards children in foster care, but it's you could target it towards any group of young people. A lot of the schools, especially middle school and high school now, are starting to invite outside agencies in to work with their students because they realize the value of that. So that's a encouraging thing, that effort that people should engage in. And that way, anybody else that they know personally, they could just weave them into that activity if they want to. If they have expertise to do that, then they could, that's part of their giving back that they can contribute if they feel so inclined to do it.
So with a lot of the budget being cut and you know, a lot of things going on with the budget right now, will a lot of organizations have the opportunity to present these type of programs and situations to the young people?
It's going to be a little tougher challenge. What they would need to do is see if they could develop some outside resources. Here, a couple of the more notable rappers have come to the forefront in terms of pledging money to help out with with that effort, because that's a good percentage of their fan base is that young crowd. But not only that, sometimes people could go and create a GoFundMe account and say what it's for, and people will be inclined to help support that effort. So it's different ways to approach it. If there's another nonprofit, a couple of them could get together and go after some. It's normally state and city monies might be a much more attainable on a quicker basis than they have federal dollars also, but that becomes a little bit more complex to go after those dollars to support that type of programming.
Okay.
But they always have that available. It's just a matter of how diligent a person is going to be to stay on it and get it done.
Yeah. And that's the thing, that being able to stay on it and get it done. Because I guess one thing, and I can't speak for there, but a lot of things that you see going on today is that if I can't make no money off of it, I can't do it. Or I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't be a part of it. And that's a disheartening situation, because you've seen a lot of that go on, and I'm just speaking the truth on it. Not trying to call any in particular of anything out or anyone out. But we have to pay attention, that our young people pay attention to everything that we are doing as adults. So I just needed to throw that out there. So you do feel that there will be monies available, though, for organizations to step up and get involved and help out if money is needed?
Well, I guess the first rule of thumb on that is who you know. So, therefore, someone in a particular circle may actually know of someone. Also, there are certain churches that feel they need to become a little bit more involved these days in terms of supporting that instead of their usual. There's churches now going outside of their realm of members only. They're saying they want to do something for the community. So therefore, if you help them represent the community, those church members could actually be a source where a couple of the ministries within the church, if it's not the whole church, will be able to pledge and give their, just like they get it tied to the church, they could go ahead and make a pledge to support an effort like that. And some of them want to become directly involved themselves. So, yeah, I mean, you just got to look at it and build on it from there, because also there are certain local businesses that will become involved. And with them, you also could just do, you tell them, well, these are your customers normally supporting your business and stuff, so you could give back, and then it should pay off in terms of increasing your business and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you explain that basic marketing concept to them, you could see who's receptive and who's not. There are some people who, of course, won't buy into it, but you don't know until you ask.
That's good, Mr. Bond. That's real good. So with the summer right here on us now, School probably going in as usual, but not as usual. What are some positive that you can give to some families right now? Just some positive knowledge of some things that they need to hear. That if these people were your clients right now, and they're going through, and you see what's going on around us, and because all of us are in the same situation to a certain extent, what is it that you would tell family right now, with children in the home, children and teenagers, and what is it that you could say to them right now, Mr. Bond?
Well, some people are still going to be experiencing a more of a uphill challenge than others, and they should feel free in terms of trying to explain what this whole new living situation is, and not try to hide things from them, because it's tough. You don't have the money to pay the rent, but you're not sharing that with the kids, and all of a sudden tomorrow you got to be trying to move out, and they're asking, what happened? Where are we moving? You need to be able to establish an honest dialogue with the children, and if you can't do it all the way, seek out a little help and see, can't you get it across, you know, to them. But that should be a good point of reference in terms of keeping your family together and where everybody feels they got a buy-in. And also, if it's teenagers, they could, and they do a little entrepreneurial hustle, they could contribute back to the household at this time. If the parents don't need it, they could just start working with them in terms of putting that money aside and budget instead of them buying some bling or some CDs that they don't necessarily need or won't keep over a period of time. So they could start explaining the value of money to them, and hopefully that would be a stable point of carrying on. But they also have to become their own self-advocate and not really depend on hearsay. If something don't sound right, they need to research it. And then if something is not in agreement with them, they need to find out who to discuss that with and partition to get the information. And if they don't get the right answer, go to the next step. There's always a next step. So when the teacher don't sound to say anything correctly or the way it should be, you go to the principal. Principal don't want it. Then there's a superintendent. And if superintendent is not saying anything right, then you go to the school board. But you always keep pushing the agenda because other people aren't going to do it for you. So you have to do that. And once they establish that, just keep it up. I mean, if it's corrected, then you also need to acknowledge, thanks for the correction. But you push for those things there. And that's about the best positive direction they could take going into this unknown. We have just not been in this type of situation where this much personal follow-through is needed to make sure that there's a safety factor and that everybody's progressing the way you want them to.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Okay. Well, Mr. Vaughn, I tell you, you have come with some very positive stuff while with people tonight, and we really appreciate you coming on for a second week in a row. We definitely will be calling on you again, so be looking out for the call. And we thank you for being a part of this special assignment, because you really fed them with some knowledge, and hopefully they fed off of it, because we've heard enough of Hosea 4 and 6 of our people perishing for the lack of knowledge because they reject it. So we're going to put it out there, and hopefully they'll feed up off of it. So thank you once again.
Yeah, we would just caution them to not get so overly involved with social media.
Oh boy.
Think through some things on their own and try to control that some also in terms of the young people, that they get some it gets some very bad information from there, and all these other little challenges that makes no sense, and kids are going out getting hurt or worse. Yeah, if they could do that and then just monitor that. I mean, because some of these kids, they know it's mine, and you have no right to do it. Well, they don't pay the bill or anything. So that's another communication point that they have to get across. Say, well, if it's yours, then I'll let you go ahead and pay the bill for that next month. Do you know how much that is?
Exactly. Wow.
So I mean, points of reality in this tough transitional time has to start being communicated. So therefore, it's going to work instead of people crying about it later, because it will come to that point. And that's on the increase, unfortunately. We're not talking about, every once in a while. No, it's bad statistics rolling up every day because of that engagement. And we just have to get a better handle. I mean, we ain't saying you just got to take it away, but there has to be a communication. Our rules established when you decide to get them that phone, because people are questioning, well, why does this kid need this new iPhone? I mean, not an old one. They get the new 10.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And folks are saying, well, what are you – and with all the little fonts and gadgets they got on there, some of them get slick. They learn so quickly. They get on there and could hide stuff. You need 3 passwords to find it. So we would encourage parents especially to look at having a better control gauge on that, because that's something that's influencing young people to the point where it's too late. They do something and then they're in jail or worse because they say they didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. Well, yeah, you talking to someone in North Carolina and doing stuff, that's interstate. You know, yes, you got the FBI involved. So you're just trying to have a good roadmap where you can move ahead. You're still going to hit a couple of potholes going along the way because those are presented. But if you at least start mapping it out where you got a clear road where you could, everybody could walk and go, that presents itself a whole lot better than all of a sudden, hey, which way we go? What road is this? Or how did this road get here? You got to map that out.
Wow.
That's a definite thing that we feel has to be addressed if you're getting ready to have any chance of keeping the family together and moving in a positive direction.
So what is the plan on that, Mr. Vaughn? You say monitor that and having some understanding and communication. But once that child leaves your presence, and I appreciate you bringing this up before we got out of here, how do you keep up with that? Because the only thing that you can do, because you said it, all of these different passwords, the different things that, you know, we don't know unless you study it for yourself, that your child has on these gadgets. What do you do about that? Because you can track them. You know, there's trackers that are on them.
Well, you could
track,
but
as content,
again, it's going to come back down to a personal one-on-one. Again, many parents know their children, so if they ask them a certain question and they start stuttering or they know when they're lying, they can say, now, are you sure about that? Because let me ask you something. And just they have to establish that, yeah, I know that you're lying. Because
right,
that's what
right.
our parents did.
That's right. That's right.
So they and parents have that. They have that intuition to know how well you're speaking the truth on that.
That's right.
So especially mothers. So they have to start asking them and seeing how truthful they're going to be, and then they just re-explain it. Look, I ain't trying to track you. I could put a chip in you if I want to and track you, but I just need to make sure that you know we got to trust each other because that's who we're here for.
That's
I'm
right.
here for you. You're my child. And throughout nature, as mothers will fight, do things. My mother established that trust factor early in life. She was just bold and threatening, and that gave me a sense of knowing that, yeah, she's there for me, but you still got to hold up your part, because she would not back you if you got caught lying and stuff. And that's the communication link. And unfortunately, the technology has taken some of that away in terms of people letting the technology help raise the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's bad. We had a case where the mother would text her daughter each night. She was 14, text her each night, you know, good night. You sleep tight, and the daughter texts back. But, you know, here at 4 o'clock in the morning, police bringing the little girl home because they've been scouting out the crack house up the street. And the mother, you know, no, that's some other girl named that. My daughter is in bed. She just texted me, look, but she wasn't there. And so if you want to do that, you go in the bedroom and kiss her goodnight and make sure she's in bed instead of then snuck out the house. So you got to have those things in place in order to give everybody a chance, because that's the message now that people are protesting, you know. Let me live. Give me a chance. Because that's being taken away.
Yes, it is. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And there's basically a lot of our young people that are suffering out there in those streets. And
yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah, they've been influenced too much, and they've been bought into that lifestyle instead of listening to the people who actually are their caretakers. So if they establish that again on their role, then it started to work a lot better in terms of the recognition that people would trust. Hopefully they won't merge over where they're not the mother anymore. They act like they're the big sister or the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a dangerous thing at one time, that the mother wanted to dress up and go to the club with the daughter. Well, no. If she want to go, then you at least know where she is. And what time she's expected home, but you don't have to go dress up, put the other little short dress on, and go to the club.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow.
And then you set a rule that, yeah, if you can go out there, I need you to go to church with me on Sunday. And if not, then you don't need to go with your other things that you want to do.
That's
because
right.
This is the way I've been raising you, and all of a sudden you can't say you don't feel like you want to do that no more. So you establish those rules of engagement.
Yeah, and you said something about parents trying to be the friends to the child. That's been a major problem, because then they don't have the respect of you as a parent anymore. They look at you as a friend. And they can handle you any kind of way.
Well, that came along at one time, and people bought into it, and then the social media thing pushed that agenda and stuff also.
That's right.
Now, some parents say, no, I don't believe in no punishment, and I don't believe in no timeout and stuff. Well, your child is acting out. You come up with the alternatives there. How are you going to correct that? It's not functional in terms of giving the child a chance to grow up the right way.
Wow. That's right. Totally agree. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Mr. Vaughn, and come back. We're going to open up the lines and see if anybody got any questions, statements, comments, anything for you. Also let you make your final comments, and we're going to get out of here, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Stand by. Hey, thank you for everybody for turning us on tonight. You're listening to Breaking Chains, a special assignment, Mr. Vaughn, out of Atlanta, Georgia, Bagley Youth Development. Stand by. Miracle Worker, Drew Toney, YAT Radio.
You know that they say that miracles went out with the apostles, but I really beg to differ. And I'm declaring right now that God is still a miracle worker. Can I get a witness anywhere? Yeah. Hallelujah.
He'll create a scene to draw a crowd, to work a miracle. Yes, God will. He'll create a scene to draw a crowd, to work a miracle. Yes, he will. Cause my God is that good. That good. That good, yeah. Yes, he is. My God is that good. At the water well, yeah. Won't he do it? Oh, what about the time he blessed the fish and bread, yeah. Won't he do it? Oh, what about the time that he called Lazarus from death, yeah. Won't he do it? Create a scene, yeah. To draw a crowd, to work a miracle. Won't he will? Yes, God will, yeah, yeah.
out, Bishop Alger Morgan. He's still working miracles, y'all. Yeah.
Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right, welcome back to Breaking Chains, a special assignment. Drew Tony say, God's a miracle worker. He'll create a scene to draw a crowd just to work a miracle. Did you get it? Oh, man, it's a scene drawn up right now. Some things going on. He's getting your attention. He's about to work a miracle. Oh, okay, this ain't the night for that. Let me leave you alone. All right. We got Mr. Vaughn on, our special guest tonight. Oh, man, I tell you, it's what an awesome night. I thank you for being on. Deputy Director of Back the Youth Development there in College Park, Georgia. Came and gave some knowledge and wisdom to our parents, for our young people for the summer. Once again, Mr. Vaughn, thank you for being here tonight. Going to open up the lines and see if there are any comments or questions, anything for you tonight. God bless you. Good evening. Welcome to the show. I see Dr. Kemp is here. God bless you, Dr. Kemp. How you doing, sir? Do you have anything for Mr. Vaughn tonight?
I'm sorry, but I had you on mute. I had a house blessing to do, and I just made it back in. And so I dialed in and I didn't get enough of it. So I'm going to listen right now. If I have any other questions, I will ask.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Anyone else out there have any questions or comments or statements from Mr. Vaughn that are listening by way of that are on the phones right now? The phone line is open for you. Okay. All right. Well, we thank everybody for tuning in and listening out there in the World Wide Web and also by way of phone. Okay, Mr. Vaughn, final comments and your final statement for the world out there before we get out of here tonight that you have for our family and young people throughout this summer and getting ready to prepare themselves to go back into the schoolhouse.
Well, I try to... You know, there's no exact formula, so you're shooting on a wide basis here in terms of trying to cover some information that would be helpful. But I guess one of the more serious considerations right now is in terms of taking care of their own personal health, because we were talking about the engagement back in school, but you need to be healthy enough to try to go back to school or work. Some work was shut down, people trying to go back, so... I just say just use a little common sense in terms of your engagement. Some people, we saw the virus rate has jumped back up when it opened up to everybody because they wasn't going by the recommended practice of social distancing and wearing a mask. And just from just looking at it, you know, without any real statistics or other scientific data, a person got to assume that this is a factor. And the reason why it went back up when they showed all the people on the news at the beach and the clubs and stuff enjoying themselves, you don't know who has it, and it's easy enough to pass along. So we would just ask that people try to judge themselves accordingly in terms of being safe from that direction, because any of these other things we were talking about trying to do, you can't do that if you're not healthy.
All right. All righty. Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Vaughn, for being here tonight. We'll look forward to having you on again. And you stay safe up there in Atlanta, GA, and give my best to Ms. Brenda and the Bagleys, and we'll be in touch again soon, sir. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Appreciate it as always.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Good night. All right. Hey, Pastor Kemp, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, as we get ready to go across the top of the hour and go into this second part of the show right here, I'm glad that you called in. I want to ask you a couple of questions, if it's okay with you. We talked about some things with child development and youth development just then. You came in on the end of the show. If you can you give a little comment and some insight to our parents as well, for some spiritual insight on preparing themselves for a long summer with their children and even preparing themselves to get their children back in school, because a lot of states are saying that they're going to open schools back up in August and get ready for these things. Mr. Vaughn was talking about certain entrepreneur things that we need to be trying to educate our young people on, and getting them learned on some things and skills and trades and everything. So if you don't mind, Pastor, can you give them some insight as well from a spiritual aspect and also from your personal aspect to help some of our parents out there with their young people?
Well, the thing I would like to say is good evening to each and everyone. And the thing I would just support the fact that we have to be very precautious in getting back in the school and to who our kids are around, and let them understand that this is something that's never been faced before. And I think that was 1918 or 1917, after around the time of World War One, we had that fever, that flu that went before us, disease, and it killed millions, about 30 million. And this is on the same magnitude. This that we're dealing with, although we don't have the leadership that we need to from the top, is expedient that our mayors and our governors tell our people the truth. And it's for the parents to not be naive, but to teach their children. The parents need to find out. If you're not getting it from your leaders, it's expedient that the parents would do the teaching. Because nobody's going to love your child the way you love your child.
Amen.
And let your child understand exactly what is COVID-19 and that there is nothing like it that we could put together. And I would tell our kids, because we're going to have school, the economy is going to open up. I'm not saying that it's correct just to fully open the economy up, because it's going to cost the lives of many. That's going to fall prey to the money. I put it this way: money grabbers. They're not concerned about life, the lives of the people. They're concerned about the billionaires making money, the large corporations making money. And as long as they're making their money at the cost of a lot of lives going to be lost. So we have to teach our children how to be safe and try to do your social distancing and the hand washing, and let them know about wearing masks. It's so sad today that we're divided. The GOP, the Republicans, don't want to wear a mask, because we have our leader won't wear a mask, not, 45. I'll call him 45 is not wearing a mask. And so it tells the people that something, if he's not wearing a mask, we don't. But people are dying. And we have to teach our children. And it is expedient, too, that the parents understand. In the book of Psalms, in the 127th Psalm, it's very important that we learn these things. In the 127th Psalm, it said, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, that the watchmen stay awake in vain. And what it tells me, unless God is the orchestrator of our life, we have that love and compassion, that fire, that fever for everyone, our life is in vain. Money is not going to get it. But it's the love that we have. And I found out that in America, it's the love of money And the Bible do say it's the root of all kind of evil. There's nothing wrong with having it, but they say it's the love of it. But
right.
I think that we need to, the training needs to come from homes.
Amen.
Because we're not getting it from other places. And we can't send our kids to school and expect the schools to train our children for us and to raise our children. We have to have a great part to play in raising and rearing our children. And the first thing is raise them in the fear and admonition of God. The next thing is your secular education. See, secular education and Christian education equals success, but true success can be only found when one have a true walk with God. And what I'm
Amen.
Saying is we teach you not to steal, not to kill, to love one another and things, because to stay away from those evil, the evil things, the kids that's out after drugs, and we are to teach them and allow them to understand that getting good grades and not dropping out of school and not trying to come up pregnant in high school, it's so much that children learn from the nurturing at home. I don't expect someone else to train my children for me. We should be training our children, and if you don't know, there are many avenues, like the gentleman earlier was telling, the different things that we could do with our children. Well, we have different things that we can do, and we have different professionals that can help us, and the social workers can help us with our children. And we should make arrangements for them time to do. School left out early. Should have still been teaching them instead of letting them play games. Life is not a game. Life is serious. And we need to teach them that life is not just a game, but life, how serious life is. And life is what you make it.
Amen.
I was watching Michael Jordan, and he was talking about all the hard work that he put in, because he looked at the game from a different, he was so good because he looked at life and the game is from a different vantage point than others. And we have to look at life from that vantage point, but from a Christian perspective. Now, I would just say that the nurturing of our children in the fear and admonition of God, but to teach our children the social skills, and we don't need someone else to nurture our children, but we need to be our children heroes, or sheroes, whatever you want to call it. The mother should be the shero, and the father should be the hero. We should have our children with the knowledge that we're great leaders, because we are, and that we're not going to fall for anything and sending our children back out in danger. And let our children know the danger of gathering in large crowds, that they could bring it back home to their parents, but not just their parents, that the younger generation is dying from COVID-19. Once it was said to be mainly old people, but now younger individuals are dying from it. So it's just people, older people, but the younger. So I would just tell people to take advantage of the information that's out there. Dr. and others that they're giving, and the scientists, not what the president and others are saying, because they're only concerned about finances or the economy. And his hotel is not making money. Different business, his friend businesses are not making money. That's all he's concerned. He's not concerned with the health and welfare of people's kids, because his kids don't have to go out in the workforce. His kids are not cashiers. His kids not working in meat packing places. His kids not delivering packages. So they don't worry about those things. They only perpetrate the death of our kids. So I would just say school is going to come back open. Let us be aware and prepare our children with the knowledge, the wisdom that they could survive through until it come up. It's going to be a while. I don't think they're going to come up with a cure for it, but they may come up with some vaccination, and they say that's not going to be but about 75% careful, about 75% of people take it. So that means 25% of the people is not going to work on it. So that's death. So even with that said, we need to be very cautious of what we're doing. The beach, the clubs, the restaurants, everything open up. And not just for the economy. They're demanding people go back to work, no matter if they're losing their lives or not. We're being lied to. So let us take the time and let us teach our family and friends. And remember, this is God build your house. You labor in vain if you don't build it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Powerful word right there, Pastor Kim. Thank you very much. Got another guest on the line with us. Want to bring him in. Pastor Roberson, we're talking about, God bless you, sir, and good evening. We're talking about getting our youth prepared for what lies ahead for all of us, because all of us are in this together. But our young people are the ones that are being somewhat left in the dark about what's going on, COVID-19. Out of school, no activities, no sports. A lot of things are going on, and a lot of youth activities are shut down for the summer. What do we tell our children, and what do we do to prepare them for what's yet to come?
Good evening, and I thank God for y'all. Just listening, and Pastor Kent was just saying so many good things. I mean, but I'd just like to say, the scripture says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge is the most powerful key that we have. Without information, man, we are literally destroying ourselves. So we have to teach our kids that the information that's being afforded to you is the most key to success in life. And what the enemy wants to destroy is to take information away from you. That's the information about knowing about the wisdom, the revelation of knowing Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, and John 10:10 said, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that word destroy means to annihilate. That means he ain't playing games. He ain't playing around. He wants to kill you. So when we have such a situation like we have that's going on in the world with the pandemic, one of the things, Pastor Rob, that I looked at and my spirit of love was just showing me, this is a rebellious against following instruction. All we have to do is follow instruction.
Come on,
and just like Pastor Kemp said, we have a leader that's not wanting to put on a mask, that now has other people that's not wanting to put on a mask for them. Just follow instruction. And so we just have to just, like you said, just keep people aware. Don't fall for the trap. Don't get relaxed. Don't set your guards down. Don't give in to what the enemy wants you to feel like you left out. No, you ain't left out. You left in. So we just have to keep awareness upon all of us, and we just had to keep building our families up because it's the family was matter. The enemy has always been after the family. He's always been trying to destroy family. One of the things that we have time for now, more than ever, is to spend time with family. Okay, praying time every night with my family. We had started this months ago. Was at 6:45 we stopped and we prayed. All right. And so sometimes I forget about it. My wife's like, I forgot. Oh, it's 6:45, it's time to pray. So that's not just within my immediate family, that's with all my family. So that's some of the things that we have to get back to as foundation structure. Get back to praying. Get back to seeking God's face. Get back to not just for We've been so accustomed to receiving blessings, we forget about how to worship. You know, we forget about how to come to God and just be at all because of just who he is. Even if your daddy don't give you anything, don't stop him from being your daddy.
That's
so we
right.
We just have to give God thanks for just being who he is, you know. And I think this, you know, this is a time for reflection, a time for reset, a time for seeking even more, a time for fasting, a time for praying, a time for unity.
My God.
And what we're seeing is that the enemy is trying to divide all that up. He's trying to divide unity. We have people still don't understand and still talking about, we still dealing with elementary stuff about racism. We can't get past it, you know. And it's like we have to find that understanding of common ground to say, this is something that we should all be past, and something we have to learn from to get better as a people. So, you know, we got to go back to teaching fundamentals, elementary, ABC, 1, 2, whatever the case may be, so we can get the world to understand. And we want to be able to teach the world what is going on right now that God is trying to get all of our attention. God is not mad. You know, I say this. We have to just get this understanding. God is not mad. But one thing we forget about, that one scripture has said and declared, God is a jealous God. Okay? All right? We forget about that side of God. That God is jealous when you bring other things in front of him. So when we have put everything else in front of him, God, it was, you know, I say, you know, it was a quenching in his, you know, something in his spirit that I believe that, you know, as a parent, we all would get. That if your child kept putting something in front of you and kept putting something in front of you, and you say, why you keep doing that? And so we got to find that place where we put God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added. So we got to, I just say, Pastor Rod, that we get back to teaching, we get back to loving and caring for one another as brothers and sisters. I'm still going to teach my brother, my son, how to love all people. I'm not going to teach him to be hateful. I'm not going to teach him because of what's going on in the world. I'm never going to teach him that. And that's what we got to start teaching in the household, is teaching them, in spite of what the world is doing, you still love. The Bible says, love your enemy.
That's right.
And pray for those who despise or misuse you. You got to pray for them. You know? And the only thing that's going to change this world is by prayer. Prayer and fast. And I just believe that. We got to come together as a church to pray and fast to break this spiritual warfare that's going on.
Amen.
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 I'm riding in the car, so I apologize. I appreciate the time and just a few minutes, but thank God for you. We keep y'all lifted up, and we'll continue to pray ye for one another.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
It's something, because that is something that's absent in the land, love. A lot of hatred is in the earth, and we have to do better about that. And, you know, we got to put God first. And get back to what we're supposed to be doing. And standing up as the church, we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. You know, we represent Christ. We need to act like it. People think that, you know, Pastor Kemp, everybody thinking that I'm just pointing fingers and blaming and judging. And all I'm trying to do is just put the word of God in front of you. You know, we've been a disobedient people for a long time. And do we have to constantly be disobedient? We were taught what not to do. And we're doing it. And, you know, that you know, how can we expect something to happen this way and we're being disobedient to our Father, you know, who is the Father of all fathers, who, you know, who's the creator of all creation. So I just feel that we have to do better. And tonight was all about our children. We have to develop our children in a positive light. There's a lot of destruction going on around them right now. And some of them are confused and don't know which way to go. And they have to depend on their parents for that answer. And we as parents and caregivers, guardians, or uncles, aunts, you know, whatever we are to them, we have to be that perfect example, especially if we say that we are followers of Christ. Call yourself a Christian. Stop being a crystal and being able to be seen through and seeing that you're a liar. Let's not do that anymore. Let's get ourselves together and get back on point. And that's all I have to say about that. Amen. So we thank everybody for turning us on tonight, being a part of the show. And let's help our young people. Let's educate them. Let's lift them up. Let's build up their self-esteem and move them forward, because they are our future. If they don't have a future, we can't possibly have one if they don't have one. And so we are their lead and guides to the light of Jesus Christ. So let's make sure that we stand up and take our part and get in our proper place and get on our special assignment. Amen. God bless you all. Dr. Kim, can you pray us out tonight? You are everybody. Pastor Roberson had to go, so can you pray us out tonight, sir?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that was said and the things that were done on this program. We thank you for all the participants who participated in this program to make it be successful. We thank you for the words, your words, that when the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge that have been shedded, that would give us more ability to give our children the warning and that they can go out and be successful and have be healthy and wise as they traverse this community. Thank you, Lord God. We want to just say thank you for Reverend William, Lord, for bringing different individuals on the program to speak to his community, Lord, that we'll do better and that our children. And, Lord, we're asking a special blessing on our children that as they go back to school, that you would protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, and that as they sit around the houses, their homes today, Lord, that you would be with them and not just games, but they'll study your word, they'll practice their math, their science, and that they'll be prepared and understand everything about COVID-19 so that they could protect themselves and their families. Lord, we ask a blessing on our president. Lord, open his mind. I know, Lord, this man is racist, Lord, but I know you could help change a person, Lord. If not, Lord, we know, Lord, that the Antichrist will come. And, Lord, we know that different things that going on, the division in this world, Lord, there's so much division. It's been division, but it's raising its head up because we have someone at the top now that supports it. They showed Twitter where they was hollering white power and all kind of things, and he had it on his Twitter feed and things that tell you who that man is. Say, if a person show you something, show you who they are, believe that's who they are, regardless they ever try to change it. He showed you with their colors. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless all of our listeners. Make our listeners home peace, home to prayer. Now, Lord, build all of us up where we're torn down and strengthen us where we're weak. Lead and guide us. Strengthen us, Lord, as we go forth to fight COVID. Lead us and strengthen us, Lord, as we go to fight against racism, injustice, insensitivity, and all those things, Lord, that people are going, stop the killing. Stop black-on-black killing. Stop white-on-black killing. Stop police from killing blacks and whites. Bless every race, Lord. And don't make us haters, but make us lovers. Because you said, love you one another as you love, and that all men would know we are your disciples. If we have love for one another, we come thanking you, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over this country and over this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God bless you. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night. That gentleman right there, the Reverend Dr. Levert Kemp, will be on with History Talk, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Come and receive his love as he come and teach you about who you are and whose you are. History Talk tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Have yourself a blessed night. And we love you. And as Dr. Kim saying, ain't nothing you can do about it. Stay safe out there. We love you. Have yourself a good night. Good night, everyone.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying,
we are dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily,
living happily.
But you hurting me,
you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Oh. Can you feel the grace?
Can
family?
You feel the grace?
Breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my people.
People.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
We're family.
Wow, wow. Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh, it's
all alone.
Want to get involved?
Got comments or suggestions?
Let us know right here at YAT Radio. Email us at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. Call us at 858-357-9137. Or write us at YAT, Post Office Box 361-308, Decatur, Georgia 30036.
God bless and thanks for listening to Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Listen every night as we live stream on www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. Or call in live, 858-357-9137. Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.